This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, July 13th, 2025. First things first, first call.
Oh, Connection Church. Connection Church. Good morning. Man, when Christ calls, when Jesus calls. Do you feel that? When Jesus calls, lives change. Do you know that story? Is that your story? Do you remember when you heard Jesus say those words to you, those two simple words, follow me? Can you imagine all that comes from responding to those two simple words when Jesus looks at you and says, follow me, follow me? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been living an entire lifetime of responding to that, and then you have stories to tell. Some of you here today, some of you online, you're still seeking, you're still searching, figuring out what this is all about. Maybe you haven't quite heard that yet from Jesus, and you're looking, you're seeking. Some of you have heard Jesus give you that invitation, but you're still wrestling with how you're going to respond. What now, right? I get that. You know, the Bible is full of call stories. When you read this book, all over the place, you find stories of people being called. Actually, almost every great story of Scripture begins somewhere with somebody being called by God. You could look at Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Moses, judges like Gideon and Deborah, Hannah, Samuel, David, some of the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, all of them have call stories. But the really wonderful thing is when Jesus comes on the scene, this calling becomes an open invitation for anyone who would believe. Listen, all of us are called in Christ. All of us have a calling in Christ. It's not just for some special people who lived thousands of years ago. Every single person has this invitation from Jesus where he's saying, hey, follow me. Follow me. The question is, how are you going to respond? What's your answer going to be? We are looking at first things first this month for this first series we're doing together. And we're looking at what are the things we need to prioritize and focus on most as we enter new territory, as we enter a new season together. Last week we talked about the first steps that we take into new territory. And today we're talking about our first call. Our first call. The key questions that are going to drive today are, what is our first call? What is that? And how do we go from just living for survival to living for the calling? Living for God's calling in our life. Now, you just saw the Chosen series portray really wonderfully part of that story of Jesus calling his very first disciples. And they used it based on the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel has a little more longer version of that account where it has this miraculous catch of fish and there's this drama and it's a really powerful story. I'm going to read it to you from Matthew's Gospel. His account is a little shorter, a little more of the Cliff Notes version, but it's the same story. We're going to look at a lot of different scriptures today that speak to God's calling, but this story is going to be our key text. So listen, and if you have your Bible with you on your phone or in the book form, open up to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read verses 18 to 22. You can also see it on the screen. This is the word of the Lord. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. And you can say, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. I love this story. Let's say a prayer together as we get ready to dive in. Lord Almighty, this is your living word. We are here. We humble ourselves before you. I ask you to speak into every single person's life here, God, especially those that came and weren't really sure if there would be anything for them today. I pray that you would speak directly to them. Anybody watching online, even watching this after the fact, let your spirit speak to us. Give us the message you have for us because you are calling and your word is still speaking. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Folks, could there be anything more exhilarating than hearing and responding to Jesus saying to you, follow me? Could there be anything wilder than that? Could there be any greater adventure than that when Jesus calls us? I think it's interesting where this story begins when Jesus calls his first disciples. It doesn't begin in a synagogue or a church or a seminary. It's not some religious place. It doesn't begin in a house or a restaurant or a meeting place of some kind. Jesus goes and finds his first disciples in the workplace. He just invades their job. They're busy trying to do their thing and survive, and that's where Jesus shows up to call his first disciples. What is your relationship with the workplace? I'm sorry to bring it up on a Sunday morning, but this is where I work. So what is your relationship with work? How does that make you feel when I bring that up? What are the memories and feelings that come to mind for you when you think about the workplace? A lot of different things, right? Some of you might be very blessed to say, you know, I've loved my work. I was fortunate, you know, it was meaningful. It was purposeful, and I enjoyed every moment of it. Some people love their work. But for a lot of other people, for a lot of people in the world today, work is, well, work. Yeah? When I think of our day-to-day world and the feeling of it all, I go to, like, the morning commute. And again, I'm sorry to take you here on this holy day together, but you think about that rush hour traffic and everybody's on the highway trying to get to where they're going, a little bit tired, a little bit rushed, a little bit stressed, or a lot. And just that feeling of, in this world, like being in the rat race. Like I have to do this thing because I got to find a way to survive. And someone somewhere is counting on me to do something to keep this whole thing going, to make it all work. And we get up every day and we do it again and we push these boulders up these hills and then we do it again the next day. The Bible says that in the beginning, work was actually a good part of God's creation. That we were actually designed with good work to do as a part of our purpose and our calling. But one of the consequences of the fall, when sin entered the story, when humanity decided to basically reject our Creator and go our own way and become our own bosses, one of the consequences of that was that work became toil. Genesis 3 says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. You will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Basically, you live, you work, you die. Isn't that the feeling of a lot of people in the rat race of this world? Just trying to survive. just trying to make it work. Work becomes toil. Life becomes toil when you're doing it apart from God. When your focal point is yourself instead of His calling. I get the sense that Peter and Andrew, when we first meet them in this story and when Jesus first meets them, I get the sense that they're out there somewhere with Adam, working in those fields with the thorns and the thistles in the rush hour rat race workplace, trying to survive when Jesus comes walking up into their world. Luke, in his gospel account of this, he kind of paints that picture. You know, Peter says to Jesus, "Master, we've toiled all night long and caught nothing." It's that sense of exhaustion, defeatedness, futility. We've all felt it at some points, even if you've loved your work and been blessed with that. But at some point in our parenting or our job or our ministries or something, it's like, I've done all this work, and do I really have anything to show for it? Coming up empty, time after time. What's the point? Will I ever get ahead? Have you ever known that feeling? Do you ever struggle to find purpose as a student or a parent or a worker or a retiree and just feel like, here we go, another day? I have good news for you this morning, church family. You were made for more. Seriously. You were made for more than that. You were created and designed for more. The Bible says that every single person has a greater calling than just struggling to survive. No matter who you are, what your story is, what your background is, what you've done, where you come from, no matter the size of your paycheck, whether you're married or single, no matter your personality, your intellect, your body type, your gender, your race, your creed, simply by virtue of being human, your life has intrinsic worth and purpose. We all have a calling, whether we know it or not. It's on page one of this book. It's on page one of Scripture. So God created mankind in His own image, Genesis 1. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." According to God's word, this is what's really true about you. You are an unrepeatable masterpiece, created to be a reflection of Almighty God in this world. And you are called to rule and reign over His creation. This isn't just positive self-talk. I'm not just trying to pump you up and send you out the door with happy feelings. This is the Word of God. This is what God's word says about you, about me. Our sinful nature and our fallen world and the lies of the devil have led us to internalize all kinds of falsehoods about our worth and our work, to toil and struggle to measure up to some kind of standard, to make false comparisons, to live under the crushing weight of performance and perfectionism and complacency or addiction or selfishness or all kinds of things. And the image of God gets tarnished by sin. And that calling from God gets lost and forgotten and our identity with it. But the moment we fell from glory, God has been working to redeem and restore us. Can I get an amen and a hallelujah? The moment we lost that, God has been at work. He didn't leave us in that. He didn't abandon us in that. This book, these scriptures, is the whole story is God working to restore that which was lost. And it's full of stories of ordinary people like you and me who are called by God to participate with him in his work of salvation. How awesome is that? Come on, we get to do this with him. What a blessing. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took on flesh, lived, died, rose again, and reigns, don't forget that, in order to restore our true identity and calling as children of God. That's why he came. That's what he gives to you and me. Long time ago, in the early days of the church, the first couple hundred years, there were some amazing teachers of the word. We sometimes call them church fathers and church mothers. And there's a couple quotes from some of these church fathers that speaks to this calling from God in our lives and our identity. One of them was named Athanasius of Alexandria. Don't try to say that too fast. That's a big name. Athanasius said that Jesus became one of us in order to restore the image of God in us. This is like 300s AD, long, long time ago. Jesus became one of us in order to restore the image of God in us. And not around that same time, another great teacher of the church, Irenaeus, said, "The glory of God is man fully alive." The glory of God is human beings fully alive. This is what you were made for. Did you know that your salvation is not just God forgiving you your sin and cleaning you up from the yucky stuff? But your salvation is the good stuff that he gives you. He's not just wiping that slate clean, but he's restoring the masterpiece that was created in the beginning. He's restoring your life. He's restoring the image of God in you, created to reflect his goodness in this world. The New Testament talks about this too. It speaks all about the calling of God. Peter, a long time after he was called by Jesus along those shores of Galilee, he wrote to the church in 1 Peter 2:9, "You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Wow. Do you think about that when you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror? I sometimes need a little reminding before I go out the door and life hits hard and the alarm's going off and you might be hitting the snooze and accidentally taking screenshots on your phones because you hit it so many times. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, right? Do you need that reminder of who you are and what your calling is? Paul, another guy with a crazy call story, read about him. He wrote in the book of Ephesians to the church, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And later in Ephesians, he said, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Friends, I'm just trying to get us to see and help us see that no matter what life in this world has taught you to believe about your work or your worth or your purpose, every single one of us has been given a high and holy calling in our Creator and our Savior. Every single one of us. And when we turned away and forfeited that call, Jesus shed his blood to buy it back. We just need to be encouraged and reminded of that sometimes. I mean, daily for me. Maybe you've never heard this before. Maybe you've never accepted that calling and you're living for all kinds of other calls, all kinds of other things you believe about yourself, and you've never embraced the fact that Jesus is actually saying to you, "I have a calling and a purpose for you. You are made for more. You are created for a royal priesthood, for my kingdom." Because the world beats you down sometimes, right? I mean, life, the grind, the rat race, all that stuff, even things that were said to us when we were children or things that weren't said to us that should have been said, we get beaten down. Jesus comes to restore. And when he comes and says, follow me, he meets us right where we are in the struggle of everyday life. And he calls us into a whole new life. We get to be part of the same adventure that Peter and Andrew and James and John stepped into that day. We get to step into that same walk. You know, you can be a religious person. You can be a very religious person and still not necessarily be living for your first call. You can live for all kinds of other things. You can still be living for yourself to earn the most and get the most or to go for whatever your version of success looks like. You can be living for pleasure or entertainment or comfort or survival and not necessarily be living for your first call. There's all kinds of other calls you can live for. But with Jesus, there's only one call. And it's very simple. It is follow me. Follow me. That's our first call. And when you say yes to God's gift of salvation and yes to follow Jesus, you get to become a disciple. That's what the Bible calls that, a disciple. And the disciple is just another word for student or even apprentice. You know, these people shared life with Jesus. It wasn't like they just went to class for an hour and tried to get a grade. It was like they walked with him. They ate with him. They did life with him. So apprentice, I think, it sounds an even better word for this. But the best definition for a disciple that I've heard comes from John Mark Comer. It's simply this, and this is a good one to take a screenshot of or write down. A disciple is simply being with Jesus to become like Jesus, to learn to do the things that Jesus did. Being with Jesus, to become like Jesus, to learn to do the things that Jesus did. Remember those that story in the book of Acts where the first apostles get taken in by the religious leaders because they're trying to tell them, stop talking about Jesus. We tried to put an end to that. And they're persecuting them. And there's that little line in Acts chapter 4 where it says they were astonished at the boldness of these guys. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. When you live your life with Jesus, eventually somebody will notice because you're going to be different. He's going to change you from the inside out. So our calling as disciples is be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, to learn to do the things that Jesus did. And the beautiful thing about this calling is that it takes your entire life. You never graduate from discipleship school. You just keep going all the way into eternity. And the other beautiful thing is that no matter what your job is, what your place in life is, what your season in life is, you can be a disciple of Jesus anywhere, anytime. Disciples of Jesus are called to all sectors of life, every place you can imagine. I mean, disciples of Jesus are called to work as stay-at-home parents, as students, as gas station attendants, public servants, school administrators, coffee baristas, small business owners. Disciples of Jesus are called to be manual laborers, medical professionals, artists, waste managers, caretakers, retired grandparents, first responders. Yes, even pastors. Disciples of Jesus can even be pastors. Your first call is not simply about what you do, but it's about being a disciple of Jesus wherever he places you. And what happens when you begin living for that first call is that your everyday life becomes less about that futile rat race, struggle to compete and survive, and more about doing it with Jesus and for Jesus. And all of a sudden, the most challenging, mundane work can become a place where God's glory shows up because you're doing it with Jesus. The most like purposeful and fulfilled person you meet could be the person that hands you your coffee through the drive-through window or collects your trash in the dark hours of the morning or cleans the bathroom at your office because they're doing it with Jesus. It doesn't matter what you do or how you view it. When you're doing life with Jesus, you can live for the glory of God. And he changes everything. Romans 12 in the Message translation puts it like this. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Can you imagine a whole community full of people living for that calling? God calls that the church. Can you imagine a whole community full of people living that out in their day-to-day life? Lord, I may not be so happy about this work today. I don't know. Might not be the best day in the world, but here I am. This is an offering for you. This is for your glory. Use me how you will. Use me for your mission. Use me to be a disciple and make disciples. Can you imagine a whole group of people catching that vision and living for that call? I got one quote to share with you to finish today from somebody who understood about living for the first call. 6 months before his assassination, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke to a group of students at Barrett Junior High School in Philadelphia. I'd heard this quote before, but I didn't know that the context was close by. And he gave this famous quote. He said, "When you discover what you will be in your life, set to do it as if God Almighty has called you at this particular moment in history to do it. If it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great sweep." That's hard to say. Let's try that again. "Here lived a great street sweeper." Can you say that five times fast? "Who swept his job well." Yeah. Because of Jesus, all of us can freely respond to God's call. All of us can follow Christ. All of us can be disciples who make disciples and bring God glory wherever he places us. And my question for you is, church family, are you living for the first call? Are you living for the first call? Have you heard Jesus give that invitation to you and say, "I want you to follow me in your school, in your home as a grandparent in retirement, in your job that has situations and words said that are not likely to be found in Scripture. Wherever your place is, wherever you're at, have you heard Jesus say, "Hey, follow me. Follow me"? Are you wrestling with that call today? To finish today, I wanted you to hear just a little bit about my call story and Emily's call story. And she's going to come up with me, and we just want to share with you our testimony to close this out. Because when you follow Jesus, you get your own story. Everybody has one calling in Christ, but then we get our own specific story, our own unique callings to what he made us for and what he has for us. And we wanted you to get to know us just a little more by hearing our testimony and our call story really briefly here. And as we're sharing this, I want you to think about your story and where you're at with Jesus, because as we go to the last song, you're going to be invited to respond to what God's doing in your life today. I know that there's at least one person in this room, one person online who's wrestling with Jesus, looking at you and say, "Hey, follow me." And whatever that means, it's probably not going to look the same for me as it looks for you. But he's calling you, and you might be wrestling with that. This is a good day to take a knee and let him lead. This is my story. I grew up in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I was the middle child with two siblings, older brother, younger sister. I was right in the middle. And my testimony is that really, if you really know my story and know what my life was and know me from the inside, you know, it would be, I have no place being up here. No business being up here. It's only by God's miraculous power that I could do what he called me to do, because I was the shyest, weakest, most unconfident person. I did not have self-esteem. I was quiet. I was backward. My parents thought that I had a speech problem because I didn't really start talking until I was like over 4 years old. They were like, He just doesn't talk. What's going on? I was so shy and timid. And I grew up in the church. I was supposed to grow up in a Christian family. Like every family, like we were a normal family. There was blessings, but there was plenty of brokenness that my parents dealt with, that I dealt with. And as I grew up to become a teenager, I struggled with sin. I struggled with shame. I struggled with my identity. But at the same time, Jesus began to get a hold of me and pursue me. And what I found as a young man, as a young teenager, was that something that Jesus had to offer was what I needed to make life work. And out of all the other stuff I could chase after, I needed Christ. And I went from just knowing about God to falling in love with God. And along with that, he started to pull me towards this calling to ministry, and I was terrified, terrified. I would sit in church Sunday mornings and watch the pastor and know that God was like pulling me to that. And I just felt like anxiety sitting there in church because I'm like, there's no way I could do that, God. I don't have the confidence. I can't lead people. Who would listen to what I have to say? But he kept knocking until I surrendered and I just said, okay, Lord, here I am. And I had to trust that he was going to make up the difference in the weakness that I felt and all the brokenness that I carried. The funny thing about that story is where my family was worshiping and where I discovered that calling happened to be where her dad was the lead pastor and her mom was the youth leader. And I became friends with her little brother long before her because her and I were like oil and water at first. We were really, really, really different. But it was through your family and your dad that I discovered that call to ministry.
Yeah, so I'm a pastor's daughter, raised in a Christian home, accepted Christ when I was little, sometime really young, and my dad is a retired United Methodist pastor, still serving three small churches in Western PA. My brother is ironically also a pastor in the Maryland area, and so it's all in the family business, I guess. But we were raised in a really loving, really confident household, and we were taught a lot to just go out there and shine your light, share your faith, and I am on the opposite end of the spectrum for anybody that can identify with that. I am an extroverted extrovert, so that calling to just go out there and meet people and love people, that was right up my alley, and so I was a cheerleader in high school, and so I was just always asking myself the question, like, what does God have next for me? And a verse that I found towards the end of high school and beginning of college was Jeremiah 29:11. And I have since taken that as my life verse. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And so that was something that I really latched onto. And I was like, all right, God, you drive the car. I don't need to know where I'm going. I'll be the passenger princess in the front seat. And you just drive and we'll just go on this crazy adventure together. So that was definitely something. I know not all people are like that, but I was like, you take the wheel, Jesus, let's go for it. And so spent a lot of my life just really asking God, like, okay, what's next? Okay, what's next? Got a degree in psychology from Messiah College, where we both went. And as we started to grow together closer, get engaged early in our marriage, we really did keep that at the center of like, okay, God, what do you want? What do you have? Because I just always trusted and knew like it's all for you, right? It's all what you have, God. I can make the best plans, but it's all what you have. And so I worked in a lot of different roles in a lot of different school districts. I did some one-on-one therapy with kids in a school setting. I was a stay-at-home mom for 3 years. It was the hardest 3 years, so kudos to you out there. With three kids, three and under, so maybe that's why. Wherever I was, in whatever kind of workplace I was in, I was always just really still asking that question and really just volunteering in any way possible, again, because I needed that extroverted outlet at home with three kids. And so did my share of, you know, Bible studies with women and couples and kids and children and outreach, just trying to be where God would have me. The summer of 2018, when we moved to Danville, in a crazy whirlwind of things, if you would have told me that I would have been 8 months pregnant with baby number four and gone back to work, I would have said you were crazy. And I am actually the crazy one. So I came on staff at our previous church as the director of our children and youth ministries. And so for about 5 years, we watched those ministries really grow and God just really move mountains and do amazing things. And it was the fall of 2023. when in just my quiet time and times of worship and discernment, I heard God saying one word to me, and it's a little word, but it's a really big word, and that was the word more. And my initial reaction was like, I am doing the more. Like, I'm working full-time mama four. I don't know what the more could possibly be, but just through, again, trusting and saying that life verse and following his plans, it was the spring of 2024 when I stepped into the role of a local area Young Life director. Young Life is a parachurch organization that works with high school and college students. Maybe you've heard of it before, but I then stepped into a role where I was part-time Young Life and part-time at the church. And I thought that was my more. I was like, okay, God, this is the more. Here we go.
So I'm glad she didn't tell me that early on. It took her months because I would have been like, no, how about less? How about not more? How about less? That same year, it would have been the fall after you began that other role, this fall of 2024. We were in a season where things were clicking. You know, when you've been going through a long stretch, and you've been grinding and just kind of like working towards something and praying for something, and we'd been just really pouring ourselves out with the church and that community, and things were clicking. We were in a new fall season, and we watched just this flourishing life around us. Our kids were at a great age. We were ready to just kind of buckle down and say, let's keep this going. Let's see our kids graduate here. This is an awesome community, yada, yada, yada. And right in that fall, out of nowhere, I heard God just drop on my heart, change is coming. Change is coming. This is last fall. Change is coming. I didn't know what that meant, and I prayed about it more because I was like, are you sure about that? Because I don't think change sounds like a good idea right now. This is really great right here. This is good. We like this. Change is coming. Told her a couple days later, and I knew I was really in trouble because she said, I feel it too. You know when you both hear something independently and then you confirm it, you go, okay, yeah, this is for real. God kept making it clear, and after a couple months of a lot of other different stories that I won't get into all the details of, you heard some of it from Pastor Carrie and Alan here, their side of it, I came to find out that they had been praying for us and praying for me as of that summer. And by September, God started to lay this thing on my heart. If God hadn't prepared my heart, I probably would have said no to that opportunity. I'm just being 100% real. Not for bad reasons, because I would have said, wow, amazing, so flattered, but I'm good where I'm at. I don't want change. But God moved my heart. And as soon as that door opened, I knew, okay, this is what you were preparing us for, God. And what we really didn't know God was preparing us for was something more for her.
Yeah, so I had thought the more was the more, and the more was done. And God, we're always surprised by the way God moves, right? But God is always up to something. And so in the midst of us discerning this call here to come to Connection, I had my call to ministry. And so that is a whole other story. But I just had this moment in reflection with God where I was just like, all of a sudden hit with like, it's not a coincidence that they're wanting you guys to go to Connection in Delaware. It's not a coincidence that there has been this amazing co-pastor, you know, people at this church. Like, and I was just like, do I need to go to seminary? Do I need to become a pastor? And right away, I was like, oh boy. and then I remember going to him and just saying like, I think that I'm supposed to become a pastor. And so you guys are actually getting a really awesome opportunity, and I am so grateful that you're coming alongside me to see this call through. And I'm excited. I've started in the candidacy process with the Global Methodist Church, and I've already started taking classes in the midst of all of this, and am going to be ordained as a deacon in the GMC. And so you guys are a huge part of allowing me to live into that call. And I hope you're as excited as I am to see what that looks like, because this is the next step of my call that I'm still figuring out. I'm still discerning, and you, each and every one of you, is helping me to do that. So again, when you say yes to God and you say, here I am, to that question, you know, will you follow me? Be ready, because he does amazing things. I never would have thought that I'd be doing what my dad did and following in that family business, but God does amazing things, and he does have more for each and every one of you.
So that's a little bit of our story. I'm excited to hear your story. Excited for more time. We'll get to just talk. It might be in a small group. It might be in a Bible study or on the way in and out of church. You have a story that's still being written too. And as we go to finish worship today and sing this awesome song of praise, here I am to worship, right? Kneeling before the King of Kings. I want to give you the opportunity to respond to God's calling in your life. Have you heard Jesus say that to you? Follow me. Have you been struggling with that? Does anybody here have a sense, and you've been having a sense of like, God has more for me? Have you ever said yes to Jesus and given your life to him? All of this is open today. And when we come to worship and we stand up in just a moment, I want to invite you to come on forward if you wish, if the Spirit leads you, and just come with us and kneel at this altar here and pray in response to what Jesus is doing in your life. He's got a calling for all of us. He's going to do great things if you just say yes. It is going to be scary. It is going to cost you. You're going to have to die to yourself. But when you die to yourself, that's when you really find out how to live with Christ. Amen? Don't wait any longer. Say yes to Jesus. Let's pray and let's worship. Lord God Almighty, I pray that you would work through your living word and just be stirring people's hearts today. Your Holy Spirit is speaking. You are working out things in our lives and the struggles of our daily life and our journey and our history and our story to bring redemption and restoration, to bring purpose where we thought we had none. God, I pray for the people in this room who need that encouragement from Jesus to be reminded that he looks at them and says, I want you to be my disciple. I want you to be my son, my daughter. I want you to be my friend and walk with me all the days of your life. Let them hear and respond to that call today, Lord God. Let this be an open space where we experience heaven on earth and your kingdom just invades and makes us new, Lord God. We just invite you to do what you want to do in this place. We know that you have so much more for us as we walk out of those doors today and keep going in the adventure of your kingdom, and we just want to see all that you have for us. So Lord Jesus, work through this room, draw people to yourself, draw people to your salvation and your calling, and may we worship you with all that we have. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God's people say, amen. Let's worship.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.